Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you're an experienced pet owner, you already know that having a pet is 25% belly rubs, 25% yelling, drop it, and 50% groaning at the bill from every pet visit. Which is why Lemonade Pet Insurance is tailor-made for your pet and can save you up to 90% on vet bills. It can help cover checkups, emergencies, diagnostics, basically all the stuff that makes your bank account get nervous. Claims are filed super easily through the Lemonade app and half get settled instantly. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet and they'll help cover the vet bill for whatever your pet swallowed after you yelled, drop it.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
The following program has been pre-recorded. Thanks for tuning in this weekend to Let's Talk Portland, Odyssey Portland's weekly public affairs program. I'm Gary Bloxham, and this week's topic, we're going to talk about something that's been kind of a hot topic in Portland for years, replacing the Interstate Bridge. Let's talk about it. On the show this time, I'd like to welcome Greg Johnson. Greg is the program administrator for the Interstate Bridge Replacement Program. Hey there, Greg. Welcome to Let's Talk Portland.
Thank you so much, Gary. I'm glad to be here.
So there's been talk about replacing the Interstate Bridge for many, many years. Is it actually coming to fruition?
Well, we think that we are on the right path to moving this project forward this go round. So yeah, you're right. This has been talked about for almost a quarter of a century. And we think that we have some key milestones coming up to that will put us on the path to getting this done.
The bridge that's there now, how old is that bridge?
So Gary, there are actually two bridges that carry I-5 over the Columbia River. One was built in 1917, making it 105 years old.
Whoa.
Its birthday was on Valentine's Day. And so the second bridge, and they're right next to each other, and if you don't look carefully, you'll think they're the same bridge. But the second bridge was built in 1958 as part of the interstate building program. So this is a 64-year-old bridge.
Wow, you know,
both of them.
Go ahead.
Both of them are old.
Yeah, until this very moment, I had no idea they were two. Well, I knew they were two separate bridges, but I didn't know they were built at separate times.
Yeah.
Wow, interesting. So, what is the Interstate Bridge Replacement Program?
So, the Interstate Bridge Replacement Program, or IBR program, is a way that the governors of each state put together to say, this is important, this needs to be done. So they created the Interstate Bridge Replacement Program out of the remnants of the Columbia River Crossing Project. And we were told that, to use work that was done, but not be locked into what was done in the previous Columbia River Crossing Project. So we've made use of work that was done, but we also recognize there's been many changes since the Columbia River Crossing Project failed to launch back in 2014. So we're looking at the same six problems that were identified back then still exist. So whether it's safety, congestion, freight, high capacity transit, the key element is the seismic resiliency. There's also active transportation that also that doesn't exist in a meaningful way across this bridge. So those six problems still exist, and they've only gotten worse in the intervening years since this project was closed out almost 10 years ago.
Yeah, the population keeps going up, right? So the bridge gets used more and more and more.
And once again, the seismic vulnerability of these bridges can't be undersold. This is, if the Cascadia subduction does happen, we don't know that the existing bridges as they are currently constituted would survive. So they're functionally obsolete. And so we need to get serious about getting those bridges replaced.
Yeah, if there's uncertainty on whether a bridge would survive an earthquake, that's a little frightening.
Yeah, and I-5, once again, it's a lot of folks look at it, okay, it's the local connector between Portland and Vancouver, which is very true. But it's also a West Coast connector, both it's the only interstate that connects Mexico and Canada. So this is important for the regional as well as the national economy. So it's a local bridge, but it serves a much bigger purpose.
Yeah, I guess I never really thought about it that way. It's I-5. I-5 goes completely north and south all the way through the United States.
And it connects some of the biggest ports along the West Coast. Eventually, those ports tie into I-5. So there's a lot of freight movements, a lot of traffic that goes through here that supports the economy. We know that every day, on average, $71 million worth of goods crosses this bridge. So that's a daily projection on average.
Wow. Yeah, I was going to ask how many cars go back and forth across the bridge, cars and trucks and motor vehicles of any kind on a daily basis.
So right now, that number, and it's based on 2019 data, is 143,000 vehicles per day across the Columbia River across I-5.
That's a lot of traffic.
It is.
And it's especially frustrating when you see it all backed up in either direction.
And Gary, one of the more interesting things is that there are only two ways to cross the Columbia River in the Portland, Vancouver areas, either I-5 or I-205. And I-205 carries actually more traffic. They carry approximately 170,000 vehicles per day. So if this bridge were to be incapacitated, you'd be talking about 300,000 folks trying to cross on one bridge. And that's just not sustainable. It's not a good idea. So there's some great reasons of why this bridge needs to be replaced.
Yeah. We're talking today with Greg Johnson, Program Administrator for the Interstate Bridge Replacement Program. Now, if and when the bridge is replaced, the I-5 bridge, what improvements is that going to make for both Portland and Vancouver?
So one of the key things that we are looking at, Gary, is we are trying to make this a multimodal corridor where people will have choice about how they travel through this corridor. So we're actually not just replacing the bridge. We are looking at a 5-mile corridor. On the north end is SR 500 is the northernmost interchange that would be impacted. And we would be going down to Delta Park on the south end in Oregon. So the key things is that we would be creating choice for folks who travel through here. With high capacity transit, we would give folks opportunities to get out of these single occupancy vehicle trips to maybe take light rail. If you're traveling from downtown Portland to Vancouver or vice versa, you would have options. We're looking at improving the active transportation, so biking, walking, and rolling. Once again, it's a beautiful venue. But right now, there's a 3.5-foot path on each side that's a little bit scary for folks. So we would modernize this and give folks opportunities both for leisure as well as commuting to use biking and walking as a viable alternative to single occupancy vehicle trips.
I've ridden my bike across the current interstate bridge. It is narrow.
It is. So I've walked across it. I think I'm going on my 14th time walking across the bridge to Hayden Island. And it is. It's not comfortable. It's not modern. It doesn't motivate folks to say, yeah, I can do this. This is fun. It makes you more a little bit apprehensive about doing it. So we want to make it a modern facility for active transportation. And once again, give folks opportunities to make choices.
Well, back in 1917, when the original bridge was built, they probably weren't thinking about bicyclists and all of that, right?
I'm sure they were not. But the original bridge did have a trolley that ran across it. So transit has been a theme crossing the river before. So it has an interesting history.
So, Greg, what is being proposed for the new bridge? What will it look like, and what will be able to go across it?
So we're looking at a larger bridge that will be higher than the existing bridge, because once again, we're trying to eliminate the lift span portion, which that lift span operates approximately 300 times per year. And so we're looking to build a bridge high enough to allow all of the river traffic to cross underneath without having a lift span. So that's one of the key differences that we're hoping folks will see. We also know that we are looking at or proposing to have high-capacity transit in the form of light rail across the river. So we would extend the Max Yellow Line across the Hayden Island and then across the main stem of the Columbia over to Evergreen Street in Vancouver. So that would be another large difference that you would see. Folks would be able to take that. We're also looking at including what are called auxiliary lanes, or these are ramp-to-ramp lanes that allow folks to safely enter into the freeway at speed. Now, the existing ramp, sometimes you have to roll the dice and dive in, or you have to stomp on your brakes. So we're looking to make that a better, safer movement for folks by including auxiliary lanes in each direction. So we know that the current accident rates or current crash rates at this location are like three times higher than other locations across the state. So the bridge is narrow. You feel claustrophobic driving across it. There are no shoulders. So you would see shoulders on a new bridge. You would see bus on shoulders to move transit through express bus through the corridor better, as well as there would be light rail would have its own operating segment on the bridge. So this is going to be a totally modern, smart bridge.
Is it double-decker at all, or is it single-decker?
More than likely, it will have a second level. We're looking at a couple of different layouts for how this bridge could be constructed. So one is a side-by-side that would have transit underneath one of the it would probably be the southbound lanes. But we're also looking at where we would have the southbound lane on top of the northbound lanes, and then transit and active transportation would be on that bottom level. So there's a couple of things that are still being looked at and being examined as far as what the bridge layout might look like.
And will it be on the, when it's being built, will it be on the north side, or the west side of the current I-5 bridge?
Yeah, currently that's the alignment that we are looking at as the most feasible. The existing bridge would have to remain in place until we were ready with the new to switch traffic over to a new bridge. So we would build that new bridge probably 100 feet or so north of or west of the existing bridge, and then switch traffic. And one of the last things that would be done is to take that existing bridge out of, demolish it, take it out piece by piece. And that would be one of the last things that would be done.
Yeah. So. We're talking today with Greg Johnson, Program Administrator for the Interstate Bridge Replacement Program. Now, the million-dollar question, Greg, when will this be done? Let's say, actually, it's a several billion-dollar question, actually.
Well, we have numerous steps that we still have to complete. Although we're coming on a significant milestone that we call the locally preferred alternative, we're looking to get alignment from the partners and from the community on this locally preferred alternative, and we think we're well on the way to doing that. So this will hopefully come on the end of July. We will have the ability to move us forward into the next phase, which will be a supplemental environmental impact statement. And that process will take approximately a year and a half. And during that year and a half, we're going to be hopefully talking to the Oregon legislature about matching or doing something similar to what the Washington legislature has done as far as committing local dollars. That allows us to apply for federal dollars. So the shortened answer, even though it's not too short, to your question is, we would hope to, if everything goes well and stays on track like it is now, we would hope to break ground in late 2025, early 2026, and be done with everything by 2023 or 2033.
Okay.
So approximately a 6 to 7 year construction time frame, and we would put incentives out there to make sure that contractors, whoever was selected, would not dally on this project because of the importance of it. So,
what kind of impact will the bridge replacement have on the community, and what is meant by centering equity?
So, one of the things that we heard early on from the partners and from the community that was not necessarily a focus area the last time this program was seriously talked about. They said they wanted to for us to focus on both equity and climate. And so what equity looks like for a mega project is making sure, number one, we have processes in place that are reaching out to communities of concern that may not have necessarily been involved in the decision-making for large projects like this in the past. So we know that across the country that transportation projects are fraught with inequity. So we've been asked to make sure that, number one, we are engaging communities of concern and that their voices are heard. Secondly, these communities generally have always taken the brunt of impacts for these large projects. And so this is, once again, a way to say, okay, you've absorbed the impacts. Now let's see how we can more fairly distribute benefits that can come from a large project like this, and make sure that there are job opportunities, that we are doing things for the community via community benefits agreements, things like that, that will make this project different than how traditional mega projects have been built. So both the DOTs are focused on equity, and it's one of the reasons that brought me out here was that focus.
It sounds like it's very thoughtful. It's a very thoughtful process.
Well, I tell you, so we have, I think we're the only program, to my knowledge, that has both a principal climate officer and a principal equity officer that is looking at these issues very much in depth. And for me, it is personal, Gary. One of my earliest memories back in Michigan was being displaced out of my home as the predecessor to the Michigan DOT was widening a road and they took our home. And at the time, I was 4 years old. I thought it was exciting to, going to live with grandma and grandpa, going to live with uncles. So we moved 3 times in a year and a half. But the dark side to that story is that my father, when I was old enough to understand, told me how unfair he thought he was treated in the process. And so as I became a transportation professional, it was always my mission to make sure that folks who traditionally had not been heard had their voices heard and reflected in projects like this.
How can people, if they want to make their voices heard now, how do they do that?
So I think the first step is to look at our website, which is www.interstatebridge.org. And the website has all of our past meetings that we've had with our community advisory group and our equity advisory group. And so you can get caught up on what things have transpired, but also you can see the schedule for what the upcoming meetings are and get involved and make your voice heard in this. So we think by the time we are probably in July that we will have touched close to 40,000 people or had 40,000 different touches to the program. So we're being very intentional in how we are doing outreach and making sure that folks can talk to us, can make their views heard on this program.
What have been some of the concerns that people have had about a new bridge?
So we hear there's a significant group of folks that are concerned about, will building this bridge be worse for the environment as we move forward? They think that if you build a bigger bridge and you solve congestion problems, that you will induce more traffic to use it. Now, this corridor has been around for 105 years. Folks have been using this crossing to get from point A to point B. So it's not like this is a new, brand new thing. This is just improving and making sure that it functions better. So there's that concern. There are folks who are concerned that we are not building it wide enough. They say that you have to look out to the future and make sure that you are building something that will handle an unknown future out 30, 40 years from now. So we have to balance those type of inputs and make sure that we're getting the right thing done and right sizing this bridge, not building something that is tremendously too big, but also building for the future, making sure that we are building something that will help sustain this area, both culturally and economically going into the future.
Is the new bridge, is it proposed, is tolling in being proposed?
So tolling is a part of the plan of how this bridge will be funded and financed. So we've looked across the country and programs of this size, when you have billions of dollars in cost, we found that tolling is a standard tool to help fill in a gap between the funds that the states can put forward, the federal dollars. So tolling becomes the third leg of that funding stool to help get this thing funded and paid for, but also to help maintain and operate it into the future. So it's not a popular thing, and we understand that. So we're looking at how we can have equitable tolling and collaborate with both the Washington State Transportation Commission and the Oregon Transportation Commission that sets tolling policy and rates. How we can make sure that we are doing some smart things so we're not burdening folks who have to travel, who don't have flexibility to travel at different times of day, to make sure that they are not being overly burdened in crossing this bridge to get to work.
Yeah. In the last little bit we have here, Greg, give out some more information on how people can get involved. Where's the best place to start?
So I think listening to upcoming community advisory group meetings and making sure that that they're listening to the equity meetings that we hold on a monthly basis is a good place to get started. Once again, our website, info@interstatebridge.org, We'll just have a tremendous amount of resources. We've been producing our information in 10 different written languages and 8 different spoken languages to make sure that if people who have English as a second language can understand and still participate. So it's been a grand effort to make sure we are touching every part of the community on this program.
Excellent. Big project, Greg. Wow.
It is. It's a challenge, but I'm confident that we're going to get it done this time. One of the things that I tell all of the partners and anyone who cares to listen is that we cannot let a perfect solution be the enemy of a very good solution, because in the end, there is no perfect solution. So we're going to do something that will enhance this region for a number of years going forward. And we think that with the input from the community and the partners, that we'll have a bridge that reflects the community's wishes and desires for this.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for the update on the Interstate Bridge.
Gary, it's been my pleasure. Anytime you need more information, we are more than happy to engage with you and your audience.
Excellent. Thank you. We've been talking today with Greg Johnson, Program Administrator for the Interstate Bridge Replacement Program. Thanks, Greg. If you'd like to hear this interview again, just search for Let's Talk Portland on the Odyssey app. Let's Talk Portland is an Odyssey Portland public affairs program.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.